Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Am I going to charge them a hell of a lot of money? Yes. $150 is nothing. When they start to see the hundreds of thousands or a million that they're going to have to pay, they have to realize one thing. If I'm putting them in a $10 million business and I charge them $1 million fee, they're getting a business that's worth $10 million. They're going to own half of it. They've just increased their net worth $5 million in 1 second. They can take that $5 million net worth to the bank. That is a legitimate net worth. They also have a company that's making probably $2.5-3 million a year. They're going to have an income as of tomorrow of about $1.5 million a year. After you pay the investors, you're going to have $1.5 million left. I mean, there's no financing on this. There's nothing else to pay. I mean, this is money that you can put in the bank, that you can take home, that you can buy yourself a new plane, whatever the hell else you want to do. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a hell of a lot of money here.
I'm the purchaser of the Art Hamill Business Buying Course. I know that Arthur's extended an offer of assistance to purchasers who had begun seriously pursuing buying a business. I have done just that over the past month, and I could use some of the assistance at this point. My dilemma is that I'm constantly asked by business brokers to sign a non-disclosure agreement and provide my personal financials. I have a good credit and about $600,000 of net worth, but this isn't getting me anywhere with a $5 million-plus business that Arthur Hamill teaches to go after in his course. I've received plenty of details on businesses below $1 million, but the broker for the bigger businesses won't give me the time of day. Could you facilitate me getting in touch with Arthur to break through this?
Okay, well, tell him everybody has the same problem. I don't care who you are, including myself. Unless I'm working through a broker that I worked with before and qualified myself financially, the brokers are a pain in the ass. Now, taking step one, the non-disclosure document. Signing a non-disclosure document is standard procedure no matter what you're doing. So signing that doesn't mean anything. What you have to realize is you're going out, the broker realizes that a lot of people come through, they waste his time, they get involved in the business, and then they can't put the deal together. What you have to do, or what he has to do, is sit down, and I keep telling people, stand in front of the damn mirror, because there's two things that people run into problems when they're going into the first business. Number one, they don't have enough experience in business. They don't have enough management experience. And what you have to do is stand in front of the mirror and keep looking into it and keep telling yourself that you have enough experience and you can do the job and you can run this company you're about to buy. Now, after you do this a few times, turn to your spouse or your significant other and say, I have enough experience to do it. In other words, convince yourself. And what happens when you go out there and somebody starts to bring something up, maybe on your experience or your background, you're not going to stutter and stammer. And what will happen is you'll breeze right by that. Now, the same thing happens when you're talking about financial, because people are always going to try to qualify you financially. What you have to do is stand in front of the mirror and realize that you have enough money to put that together. And working with me, it'll be an all-cash deal. So that's what you're talking about, an all-cash purchase on this. Now, you have to keep stressing that. Now, if you go out and tell a broker that you have $600,000 and you want to buy a $5 million business, even if it was possible to put a deal together, almost all of them are going to kill a deal, because you have to understand how they think. They don't think of owner financing, because the average owner will not finance. They don't know of any ways to finance a business. So what they're looking for is, if you want to buy a business for $5 million, you have to have $5 million. I've had a lot of people go after a $5 million business and say they have $4 million. And the broker cuts them off. Because They don't think you can put it together. In the class, when I was teaching years ago, and when I talk to people today, everybody, I tell them the same thing. There's a lot of brokers out there, and what they do is they stand in your way. The biggest obstacle that everybody has in putting a business deal together is going to the broker. And if you're getting that experience and you're having a problem with it, and if you'd like to have a good day, go back to your book, go to the section on finding your business, and it's going to say that, say you want a manufacturing company. What you should do is go down to the library, and there'll be a book in there for your state. It'll say Manufacturing Directory, L.A. Times Mirror. You know, they're the ones that usually put them out. They're for every state.
Mm-hmm.
They also have books down there on an annual basis for retail businesses and service businesses, but mainly manufacturing. In there, all the companies in your state will be listed. It'll be listing by category, by city they're located in. And when you go to that, you'll see the name of the company. It's a printing company. Okay, so that's what you're looking at. And you'll see printing company, and you'll say, I wonder if it's large enough. Well, if you're going after a business that we may be talking about, they're going to have categories, A, B, C, D. And so you're going to go after D's and E's, and you're going to follow up. Now, in here, you have the name of the owner, you have the address, you have the phone number, the number of the employees, etc. What they do, the whole thing. And what we always suggest is you sit down, make up a letter that you can send to them. Don't send them a fax. Because if the office gets a fax stating that you want to buy their company, every employee is going to be upset, and the owner is going to call you back calling you all sorts of names.
Right, good point.
Okay, so the basic thing is to send a letter, personal. The person will open it. Now, the average broker that's going out to get a listing sends these letters out all the time, because I basically trained them in the beginning, so that's what they do. They send these letters out. In that, it says, Dear Sir, I'm a broker. I would like to list your business. I have a number of buyers. Well, if you want to do something funny, say, I know a lot of brokers write you letters stating that they have a buyer. Well, here I am. I'm the buyer. There's no broker involved, and I am in a position to pay you all cash. Now, what's going to happen is a large percent of the people that you write to are going to call you back. Okay? They're going to call you back. Why? You're a buyer. Even if they don't want to sell the business, what's going to happen is they're going to read the letter, they're going to set it aside, they're going to go home that night, say to their spouse, you know, somebody came in and said they wanted to buy our company and pay us all cash. What do you think of that? And the wife or husband says, and when are we leaving? Well, no, I didn't answer it. When you go in tomorrow, 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, you get on that right away. And what happens is a large percent of the people will respond. And what happens is you now have an appointment, there's no broker in the middle, and you're going to find the seller doesn't really try to qualify you. Because if you walk in straight and have that feeling that you can put all the cash together, and I want to tell you something. If you'll listen to me, if you go out for a standard contract, if you'll pay a market rate on the thing, and you put together a good business plan that attracts people that'll put up at least $1 million, what's going to happen is you will have the money to put that together. The thing they have to realize, and most people, when they're getting started, don't realize it when they're working with me with investors, once you get to the point where you have a contract signed and you have a business plan complete, and when I come in and we sign an agreement to pay me a fee for me to raise $5-10 million, whatever the heck you need in the transaction, you then get weekly notification. Every Friday, before I call you, I will send you a fax or an email describing every single person that I'm working with that week. On Monday, I work with Charlie and Bill. This is their phone number. This is their address, so on and so on. Tuesday, I work with this bank. This is the bank's name. This is the status. And you'll have 5 days of status by Friday. I then will call you and review you with it. Now, the reason I do it in writing first is so you can keep it in a log and look at it every week and refer to the last week. Each week, you'll know where you are. And almost every time I've ever done this, by the time we're at the first week, even though we don't have everybody lined up, we have more people in the air, more balls in the air. And if you need $10 million, you're going to find we're probably working on 15 or 20 in the first week. And so you have the status. And I was working with somebody in Florida, and he was having trouble with this. And I said, look, here's what you do. You go in there. They want me to go in and talk to them. I keep saying, I can't do that. They're going to ask for a commitment. But let them realize, once they've signed the contract, once you have put together the business plan, and I come in and talk to them, because I'm going to talk to the broker, I'm going to talk to the seller, and I'm going to also meet with the buyer, because I have to do that. The investors insist on it. Now, once I get there, what I'm going to tell you and them is you are going to have an update every week in writing. I'm also going to give it to you verbally on the phone. Now, starting with our deal a couple of months ago in Florida, I said to the buyer, I said, look, I'm going to send you a sheet every week. You feel free to make copies and give them to the seller every week. Feel free and give them to the broker every week. He said, we're not playing games here. We actually put these deals together. We actually have real investors. We actually have real dollars here. And if anybody is a non-believer, all the people that are listed on there have given us permission to have either the seller or the broker or the buyer call them. You also have the names of the attorneys, the CPAs. And when you do that and the owner of the business and the broker can see this marching forward, it really blows their mind. You cannot believe it. And what it does is take the pressure off you, and everything flies from that point. And a lot of times it helps to tell them how this works, saying, I'm working with some guy named Art Hamill. He's been doing this for years. He's been doing it with investors for 25. He's been in business for over 50. If they want to run a check on me, tell them I taught more people to buy businesses than anybody else has ever done. In fact, everybody combined. And we taught seminars for 15 years. We never had one complaint ever filed. And if he checks on me, they will find that in all the years of doing this, we offered and gave to every single person that went through our class free help until they bought a business. The program has to work, and we have to be real. And we have much more money available than we have deals. In fact, if you talk to anybody of the investors and say you're a buyer and you're buying a business, you can tell a seller and say, if you happen to talk to any of the investors that's worked with Mr. Hamill in the past, he always tells you the only complaint you're going to find is Hamill doesn't put together enough deals, take in all the money. And that's always been a complaint. They always come back and say, why don't you do more? So, Michael, when you started talking about bringing additional people on and me not buying the businesses but helping other people, which would multiply this, we're going to make a hell of a lot of people happy, because there's a lot of people out there, as I told you right from the beginning, that want to invest in these businesses. It's a very good deal for them because...
Well, what you said really hit home to me yesterday is you said, we're not trying to steal a business. We're just looking for a business that makes sense, we can buy at a market value, so the investors can make an extra 2 or 3 points on their money compared to what they're already making.
That's right. And the thing that keeps stressing is we're going to pay all cash. And if you keep saying all cash and you're one of the first ones to get in there, if you do get to the seller, you're going to find that nobody else will be able to buy that business. You have screwed that seller's mind up. And I have done this. In fact, after you start to do it, once you start to get by the brokers, you're going to find the biggest problem you have is the sellers are relying on you. They're expecting to buy it. And if you decide not to, they are very disappointed. Now, the key thing is the mental situation of somebody going in. And I can get discouraged myself, and I've been doing it for years, because the brokers qualify you. A lot of them will qualify you on the phone. In fact, they'll almost hang up on you. I mean, they're so rude.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get around it, again, go direct, go to the directory, contact the people. And again, you can write them a letter. If you'd like, you can call them on the phone. And when the secretary or whatever intercepts the message, say, I'd like to speak to Mr. Smith. You'll know his name. All the information will be in that directory you have. And so you ask for him. And if she asks you what it is, say, it's personal. And I've had a couple of them really pin me down on it. And I would say, I happen to represent a company with hundreds of millions of dollars, and we're interested in buying his company for all cash. Boom. That's right.
That's right.
I've always gotten through.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I've been very sarcastic, and then after I'm in there,
mm-hmm.
she said, oh, you're Mr. Hamill. I said, I'd like to reassure you, if I do buy the company, I never fire anybody.
So, that's funny.
She's sitting there thinking, Jesus, I gave this guy a hard time. But the key thing is they have to convince themselves. Again, we've been through this for years, and it's been one of the biggest problems. How do I get by the broker?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, my whole program years ago was not built on going through brokers. In fact, if they go through the program, the cassettes, the book, the outline, whatever it happens to be, I don't say positive things about brokers. And that was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I say the same thing today. If they start working with me now, and if they hear something positive about a business broker other than individuals that I recommend them to go to, what you're going to find is I must be getting ill. They should put me in a home somewhere, because brokers are the biggest pain in the ass. Now, when we first started out years ago, if you look at the program that we set up in the beginning, the whole thing was built around going out and making the contact yourself. although you may think a broker is going to provide something for you. And again, years ago they did. They put together a nice package which you could use on your business plan. Example, last week I was working on a business in L.A. I was trying to buy. The price on it was $9 million. A national brokerage firm from the San Fernando Valley was handling it. A woman. Okay, so I could tell by the ad on the Internet that she didn't know what the hell she was doing. So I call her on the phone. I send the stuff in, a disclosure document. Already had me registered with her company. I have enough financial so that I don't have to keep requalifying. So what happens is she sends me this information. I get a page and a half back. I raised hell with her because I said, you send me a page and a half. I said, you're charging this enormous fee, and you're giving out a page and a half of information. You know what she said to me? Why don't you come up to the San Fernando Valley? That's what we let you do. And you sign some documents, and we'll let you go through some of the records. I said, ma'am, for 8 years, I was on the fraud committee for the Department of Real Estate. And if we're on it right now, I would be getting your license number, and I would be taking you to the real estate commissioner, and you wouldn't have a license in 30 days. Well, sorry, what are you saying? I said, are you really a broker? Have you ever done this before? She said, are you saying I'm not competent? I said, well, tell you what, why don't you talk to some of the top people in your company and ask them if they know who I am, and then ask them why I got angry. The reason I'm angry is I don't like working with people like you. You ought to get out of the business. So I'm sure she has my picture on her dark board in the San Fernando Valley. And the brokers would go to my class, and they would get in there and say, you're putting down brokers. Why are you doing that? And I said, okay, I'm putting down brokers. Now, is there anything I said that wasn't true? They said, no, it's all true. Well, what's your problem? And they said, but why are you telling everybody? It makes it hard to make a living.
They can't make a living doing what they do, so they got to lie and cheat.
That's what they do, and they get away with it. Because what happens is, even though they have a license, the Department of Real Estate doesn't follow up, and most people, they get screwed on businesses, don't bother to go after them, not like they do in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time I was with the commission, we worked on a study for the legislature. What we were suggesting was, at the time, they were going to have a separate license for business brokers. After I got done with, there were three of us working on that study. After we put that in and they were about to approve it, the commissioner came to me and asked me, the state asked me, if I would like to be the first commissioner. I said, let me tell you something. If the business brokers in the state heard that I was going to be the first commissioner of business opportunities, they'd all slit their wrists. I said, because I would pull most of their licenses. I said, you've heard me talk. In fact, what we did during that time, we pulled so many licenses on Ventura Boulevard, Wilshire Boulevard, over a few-year period. The last 2 years I was teaching, when I'd be down here putting on the free lectures, the word would get out. My picture would be in the paper. The word would get out. All the brokerage offices would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every call I got, they'd ask the person if they had anything to do with me, and they were instructed to hang up. And that's what they did. The key thing is, the person doing this has to realize they are smarter. They're going to be more successful than this broker they're working with. They have to figure out a way to get by that person.
Well, you know, you just said it. I mean, you pick up the phone, you can get lists for anything. If you want a huge printing manufacturer or what have you, you go find them and you go start talking to these guys, and they know everyone in their industry, and say, do you know anyone who wants to sell their business?
That's true. You know, we even suggested at the time. I said, if you have an industrial park, you want to buy a manufacturing company? I did this in Santa Fe Springs. Okay, I owned a number of companies there. When I was there and working on one business, if I had time, I would stop at the next business and ask if the owner was in, and I would talk to him. I knew nothing about the damn business other than the building was over 100,000 square feet. And they'd always talk to you, and they're always flattered by it. And the thing people have to realize, if they can get close to the owner, they're going to find that this broker thing won't come up. But the people that are the weakest, the people that are always looking for the easy way out, are going to keep trying to take the broker thing. And if I can convince them, or you can convince them, if we can convince them to do it on their own, they're going to go back and tell other people and say, you know, if you avoid the brokers, you're going to be happier.
Right.
The thing is, you're going to go in there and say, the broker's going to charge a 10% commission on it. You can probably drop your price 10% selling it to me, and you're not going to have somebody that's an asshole. Now, one of the last things I want to mention, years ago, one of the problems we had is the brokers themselves, a lot of them, would put together a pretty good package. When you went in to talk to the owner direct, you had to gather the information and put together the package yourself. Well, that's not true anymore, because you still have to get the information from the owner, but on the other side, you're not going to be getting much information from the broker. So the broker serves no damn purpose.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, these sellers could run their own ads on the business buy sell and sell the damn thing themselves, because the people, the stuff they put on Business Buy Sell is about the same information you get from the broker, and they're charging these damn people an enormous fee, and they're not doing shit.
How did you teach the brokers to find listings?
Everything's the same. When I first started teaching years ago, there were very few business brokers in the country. I had people coming in our classes all over the country. I still remember one of them that became very large. He took my class in Chicago, and when he got up, he said, the reason I'm here, I always wanted to be a business broker. Nobody knows anything about it. I want to be the first business broker in St. Louis. And so we had that. Since I founded the first business brokerage designation, certified business counselors, all the business brokers out there today that have designations and things like that have them that are spin-offs of the original company that I put together. I was the founder of.
Before there were all these business brokers, how were businesses being bought and sold in the marketplace?
CPAs.
I see.
People run ads. I mean, we could go to the Wall Street Journal on Thursday and find maybe one from a broker. There'd be almost two pages of ads in there on big businesses, almost all of them owners. Now, if the owner didn't want to handle it, they would talk to their CPA, they'd talk to their attorney, and you wouldn't believe the great packages that the attorneys and CPAs put together. They were always great to work with. Every time I saw we had an attorney or CPA, I said, bam, I want to do that. They've gotten out of it. They've gone to business brokers. It actually would cost them less hiring an attorney or CPA by the hour than paying these assholes, because the attorney or CPA would put it together. They'd put together a professional package. They also would have access to other investors. They'd have access to ways of putting these things together. I mean, a CPA does understand a lot about getting financing, because when he has a business owner as a client, the owner could go to the bank. The bank is not going to be very receptive. They cannot give information, but the CPA is the guy normally that's giving the owner of the business a hell of an education. When I was in my prime years ago, before I got to know a lot of people like I know now, This is what I did. This is where it all came from. I would have whoever was working for me in the office of the, whatever company I had, when they had spare time, they were always responding to all the Wall Street Journal ads. Mm-hmm. They were always going to the directories by section.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we would just take different businesses, different cities. And each week we'd get a different response. It might be a printing company. It might be a other type manufacturing. But you see, my rules were not set by the fact that I want to own a printing company. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do was own a manufacturing type company of some sort that made over $1 million.
Okay.
And I really didn't care what the hell it was. And that's why I ended up with so many different type businesses. But it's all a head job. Let's take the doctor from Indiana or Illinois. He never had problems getting in because of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, the guy I'm working with right now from Arizona,
mm-hmm.
He's plowing along. I mean, the guy has more guts than anybody I've ever seen. He wasn't able to get financial things from him, so I talked to him on the phone. I said, you're wasting all this time. You've got them to sign a contract, and now you have to go in. So he said, okay. So he went in the other day, and what he said to him was, said to the owner, you're not giving me the numbers. I'll have to sue you under the contract.
Oh, that's great.
He also gave him a ration of shit on the fact that the non-competition was going to be for 2 years. So when I talked to him yesterday, I said, Eric, back off on that. Mm-hmm. When I get over there and we're ready to do something, we'll talk to them about that. But I will also show you how to get around it, because you're also going to run into businesses where you only have one big customer or two big customers, and you have to have a major plan to go into effect the day you take over. And I will show you how to get around that. We can also get around this other, because what happened is, he's buying a company that's in the vitamin business and supplements. Never had anybody violate agreements, because when I'm in there and we're going over the contract, I have things that are underlined, italicized, and the whole thing. And I then reassure them, if they want to check me out, that I will go after them for violating it.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep telling them, I said, the big problem I have in my life is I'm very easygoing, but I'm very petty and vindictive.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I will spend a fortune to get even with people.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, my attorneys love me.
Mm-hmm.
They think what I'm doing is stupid. I said, but I just want to tell you, I believe in fair play, and if we're going to have fair play, you'll never have a problem with me. But if you try to screw me, I said, I have a lot of time, and I have a lot of money. And I said, I will go after you. So why don't we just set this thing up, and if you want to honor it, sell me the company. If you don't want to honor it, sell it to somebody else, because they will not be as tough to work with as I am. And I'm not being tough. That's what happens. He has not looked at a lot of them. If you look at a number at one time, you say, God, I'm going to be looking at 100 of them or 200 of them, what will happen is you throw the damn things away that aren't any good. And by the time you get to the point, you have one with very few flaws in it. Every time I've seen somebody only look at a few, they end up getting screwed. And again, that's been one of the problems with the people that I've been working with you, trying to get them to look at more. I keep trying to tell them about things. I said, you know, I said, you're going to go out and you're going to put a business together making $1 million a year. The investors are going to get $1 million. You're going to have $1 million. Your wife and family are going to love you. They're going to have $1 million more to spend.
Mm-hmm.
I said, within the first year, you're going to screw the company up. You're going to go bankrupt. Your wife's going to divorce you, and your kids will never talk to you again. Are you sure? I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to meet your wife when we're putting this thing together. And I will tell her that story because I'm going to tell her that if your husband goes off and does something stupid, like if he will just wait an extra couple of weeks or maybe a month, he'll have a good one where you can lead a good life forever. But if he jumps in just to buy anything, because we can put it together, we can put it together with almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you have a piece of crap. So you have a lot of income. What the hell good is it? You're not going to have it very long. And then you have to go through the pain of divorce. You have to go through the pain of bankruptcy and stupidity. I've had many talks with everybody who referred to me on this very subject. And as my wife said, because she can hear me because my office is in the house,
mm-hmm.
she said, for 15 years you were an educator. Now you're a lecturer. I said, what's the difference between an educator and a lecturer?
Mm-hmm.
She said, you ought to tape record your conversations with these people. She said, you are lecturing them all the time. I said, I know, but you have to realize, I worry about them. I want them, everybody to succeed.
Now, you've seen people buy businesses, get screwed, get divorced, go through bankruptcy, haven't you?
That's right. It hasn't happened to me, but you see, in the beginning, I made all these mistakes. So when I'm telling them that you shouldn't do this and so and so and so and so, on each one of them, I probably screwed up two or three times. There were no books at the time. There was nobody for me to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a matter of me sitting there like a dummy and saying, that just screwed up three times.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da, dummy. Maybe I shouldn't do that next time. I'm telling him, you're not going to do it at all. So that's why we have these things, and you've been aware of them with me. I like every one of them. I want every one of them to succeed. And there's no reason every one of them cannot succeed. I mean, we should be able, if they will listen and take the time, every one of them should be able to get to the point where they have a business that's giving them $1 million plus per year.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but okay, well, just the main thing to always keep in mind, tell them they have to convince themselves that they can do it. What they're going to find, they're going to kick their ass, because when they get down to the end, they have the contract set up, they have the business plan set up, I fly over, I talk to them, I talk to the buyer and seller, and while they're sitting there and realizing what's going on, and then they get the first letter, which shows how many people are interested, okay, Friday, I mean, in 1 week, 5 days, this has happened, they just sit there saying, I never believed this would work. The biggest problem is not finding a business.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem isn't a broker. The biggest problem is not getting the money. The biggest problem is the business plan. That's what every one of them fall down on. And I keep telling them, you get an attorney who will let you pay them at the close. You get a CPA, and they'll let you pay at the close. So do people put together business plans. I keep saying, are you planning on going into the business of making business plans? They say no. I said, well, what the hell are you wasting your time for? Because what I need is a business plan that's going to impress somebody that's going to give you $1 million. I said, you have to understand that. The business plan is to somebody else, and the thing has to convince them that they're going to put up $1 million and they're going to get the return. It's going to be a safe investment. This is not $50 or $100. It's $1 million.
What do you think your investors are looking for in a business plan that are most important?
Okay, start with one thing. The first thing they look at all the time, myself also, they're trying to find out financially what the company has done for the last 3 years plus this year to date. So it has to be in there in detail, and it has to be summarized so they can understand it. The next thing they look at is the management. Is this management strong? Do I feel confident with this management that we have in there? And again, I don't mean putting resumes in. That's crap. We want to know what experience they have that relates to this company. I don't want to know that they're the president of the company. That's interesting. But I want to know what their background is or how strong this management team is. Everybody wants that. And the third thing they want is the pro forma. In other words, over the next 5 years, what are they projecting that they're going to be doing? What is the growth going to be? How much money am I as an investor going to get? Because what they're doing is they're bringing $1 million in. We're going to pay them a return every quarter, annually, whatever it happens to be. At the end of the 5 years, they get their $1 million back, plus they get a percent of the growth of the company. I usually give them half. Everybody I work with only give them a quarter of the growth. So everybody wins factor. I just want to state another thing that people keep missing, and that is, am I going to charge them a hell of a lot of money? Yes. $150 is nothing. When they start to see the hundreds of thousands or a million that they're going to have to pay, they have to realize one thing. If I'm putting them in a $10 million business and I charge them $1 million fee, they have to realize one thing. They're getting a business that's worth $10 million. They're going to own half of it. They just increased their net worth $5 million in 1 second. Mm-hmm. They can take that $5 million net worth to the bank. That is a legitimate net worth.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a company that's making probably $2.5, $3 million a year. They're going to have an income, as of tomorrow, about $1.5 million a year. After you pay the investors, you're going to have $1.5 million left. I mean, there's no financing on this. There's nothing else to pay. I mean, this is money that you can put in the bank, that you can take home, that you can buy yourself a new plane, whatever the hell it is you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a hell of a lot of money here. All they have to do is get off their ass.
I hope you've learned a lot from this interview with Arthur Hamill. If you are interested in buying a business and fit the criteria that Art described in this interview, please contact Michael at 858-274-7851. That's 858-274-7851. Or email Art Hamill, ArtHamel, at hardtofindseminars.com. That's Art Hamill, ArtHamel, at hardtofindseminars.com. That's HARDTOFINDSEMINARS.com. You may not know what barter is or what the trade industry is, but it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and I've come up with a loophole on how to take advantage of this industry and literally put thousands and thousands of dollars worth of savings into your pocket. You can hear me do it for real. In this 15-minute recording, I will show you how I saved for personal expenses almost $10,000 with only about 15 minutes of telephone calls. I promise you, you've never heard anything like this, and instead of me telling you how to do it, I show you how. You can listen to me do it for real. So head on over to the product section at hardtofindseminars.com. In the light blue column on the left, click on the link that says Barter Secrets, and you can hear it all in action. I think you're going to find this fascinating.